Okay, good morning, everyone. Let me call the study session of Thursday, October 4th, 2007, to order. The first item on the agenda is to hear a presentation, discuss, and provide direction on the proposed co-promotion special event process.
Good morning, Mayor, council members. I was before you, I believe, 2 weeks ago on September 20th, and we discussed special events at that time. Mayor, you were absent, as well as Council Member Jones, and so Vice Mayor Walters asked that we return while you are here so that we can further discuss this. At this time, we do have a PowerPoint, but I know that you are all familiar with the issue, so we can either go through that or we can go right into discussions and questions. I will mention, though, that we did hand out some supplemental information after that meeting on the 20th that does outline a straight rental deal and what those charges would be. That question was asked, as well as comparing that to a co-promotion in terms of what the outcome might be there. That outcome is a little difficult to estimate simply because we have not entered into any negotiations or we do not know the outcome of how the RFP will turn out. So with that, Mayor, I'd be happy to go through the PowerPoint or just go straight into questions and answers.
Vice Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. I believe Council Member Jones is coming, and I think he's just late. We delayed this because of you're not being here and Council Member Jones is not being here, and we couldn't get to four votes the last go around. I'm wondering if we could delay the presentation until Council Member Jones is here, because I think you're going to want him to weigh in on this to get to four people.
That's probably a good suggestion. Why don't we take the next item, then we'll come back. So we have the item number two is hear a presentation and discuss the electric utility evaluation.
Mayor and Council, as Catherine's coming forward, what we'd like to do today is we have part of the presentation. We want to bring the council up to speed on where we are on the electric utility system evaluation as we continue our discussions with SRP. But we also have posted today an executive session so we can go into some more specific details regarding our negotiations and specific numbers and approaches in our negotiations. So it's kind of a two-part presentation today. So Catherine will present the part that we feel is important just to have a general public discussion about, but then we have posted later today more executive session discussion too.
Good morning, Mayor, Council Members. Real quickly, just a little bit of background. I'm sure you all remember that back in the July of 2006, the Finance Committee directed Chris to investigate whether the city should look into possible sale of the electric utility. Chris, since that time, has been meeting with SRP, has met several times. Those discussions, my understanding of those has been discussions about what-if scenarios, that kind of thing. There are several considerations that are relevant to a possible sale of the electric utility. Of course, impacts on city employees, which is really important. Also, though, economic considerations, and that's basically whether the sale is a good economic decision in the first place. There are legal considerations. I don't know exactly what these might be, but I'm sure our attorneys will come up with many. and also impacts on our city electric customers, which is also obviously very important. So at this stage, we still have several tasks that we need to complete. We are currently undertaking an assessment of future capital needs and costs. We've hired an independent consultant to help us complete this. And I wanted to thank John Chavez and Martin Montillo from the Electric Utility, who took myself and the consultants around on a tour of the city. They were very gracious with their time and very professional. We also still need to complete an estimation of the utility's value to the city, and this will be based on the net present value of future net revenues. That's something we'll talk a little bit more about in executive session as well. We still need to complete an assessment of the legal considerations and analysis of the impacts to electric customers and also the impacts to city employees. So we still have quite a bit to go through. The timeline that we're proposing for this, we've basically completed the proposed methodology for analysis that we're going to use. We've had extensive meetings with both internal staff and external consultants to receive input on this and come up with something we think is a really good product. By the end of November, we are hopeful that the independent consultant will have finished his assessment of capital needs. And by the end of December, we're hoping to complete the rest of the analysis. So our plan then is to return to council in January of 08.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Just some of the considerations I think under legal that we're considering is one, are there more than just one possible buyer of the electric utility? Another one has to do with outstanding bonds. Not that the electric utility has any outstanding bonds itself, but when the revenue bonds that have been sold for all utilities, they are pledged with the entire utility fund revenues. And so the question then becomes is what, if any, effect would there be if the electric utility is no longer there providing some revenue contributions towards that end. So those are all issues that we've already started those discussions specifically on the issues of how it would impact outstanding bonds and our pledge of revenues to pay those back. We've already had some conversations with our bond counsel and financial advisor. So those are being developed today. I don't think there's anything here that suggests we can't overcome it. We just need to make sure if there's something we have to do and changing our representation on that. But that's kind of the analysis. Quickly, what we've done in advance now is we do have, as Catherine said, we already have one of the things, consultants on board to help us evaluate and assess the cost of what the future capital needs would be for the electric utility specifically, so we can include that in our analysis of determining future value or present day value based on future revenues and future costs. So certainly be available to answer any questions this time here.
Any questions at this point? All right.
Thank you.
Let's go back to item number one, which was the co-promotion of special events.
All right, we'll try this again. Good morning, Mayor, Council members.
Good morning.
I'll go ahead and again, 2 weeks ago we had a PowerPoint presentation. I apologize. We handed out copies of that meeting, and I don't have any here with me today, but I will kind of abbreviate this PowerPoint. The purpose that we were here before you was twofold. First was to secure a qualified private partner to help co-promote the Cinco de Mayo event through a competitive bid process. The second reason was to seek your support to continue the established process that we have with all other special events previously produced by the city on a first-come, first-served basis. In terms of the background, I'm going to move forward two slides and get to where we're at or where we were in at last year's event. As you recall, there was much discussion regarding a criteria-based promotion or criteria-based evaluation to decide on which promoter or event organizer should ultimately be awarded the event. But ultimately, in 2007, the event was pursued by a single promoter. As a result, the need for a formal process was postponed. In January of 2007, our division merged with the Parks and Recreation Division merged with the Commercial Facilities Division, and at that time we came up with an idea of creating a co-promotion partnership with a private party to help create some additional and needed revenues in the department. So our recommendation is by utilizing the business model that is currently in place at the Mesa Amphitheater. Staff and the Parks and Recreation Board are recommending the following: that we secure a qualified private partner to co-promote the Cinco de Mayo event with the city, again, through this competitive bid process. This process would consist of three things. First, potential promoters would complete a request for proposal. Second, a selection review panel consisting of staff and Parks and Recreation Board members would review and score the proposals based on technical and financial elements as deemed appropriate by our city's purchasing division, and then the successful applicant would then enter into a contract with the city for up to 3 years with an option to renew for subsequent years or a year. When we look at the other events, and as we've gone through these, we've basically have condensed these down as there are two events that have no longer been renewed, that being the Mary Main Street and the Cesar Chavez days. Those two events did not take place last year. No party stepped forward to produce those. So when we're talking about our other events, we're primarily talking about the MLK celebration, which is not held at a park. It's held at the convention center and city streets, the Veterans Day Parade, which is held in a city street, and the Turkey Trot, which is held at a park and a street, and I'm trying to think of the other ones that are left.
And the
Powwow, which is held at Pioneer Park as well. So those are the other events that we're discussing here, and it's our recommendation that these events that were previously produced and coordinated by the city continue to be administered through the current system on a first-come, first-served basis. We have not had, at this time, any other entities competing for those events. The remaining events would be grandfathered in, and no park rental fees would be charged. The event organizers would still be required to go through the city special event process and pay for all direct expenses. Any new community-based events that would come forward in the future would pay standard park rental fees and also pay the established or go through the established special event process with the same compliance to the payment requirements, such as direct costs and staffing to oversee those events. So with that, I would like to maybe walk you through, before we go into questions, how the RFP would work. On the back of the council report, we had the technical elements, which were for a total of 200 points for their method of co-promotion, which would be how they would, their event management skills, their operational planning, their sales and marketing, their business plan, those types of things. They would receive 100 or up to 150 points for their experience regarding their ability to produce this event or their management ability, 75 points for their condition and stability or their financial condition and stability, 50 points for their conformance to the terms and conditions, and 50 points for their proposed format, organizational clarity. And then the financial element would be a weighted score, could total up to 275 points for a maximum number of points of 800, technical 525, and financial 275. This process is one that we obviously use throughout the city. It would be administered through our purchasing division would help administer this process. And then again, as I mentioned, the Parks Board and the Parks and Recreation staff would sit in on the selection committee. And lastly, as I mentioned earlier, we provided with you some supplemental information. The option of a straight rental deal has always been there. That's what we currently used last year. And we have provided with you some of those costs. This particular design outlines all of our costs in the years past. Because we've been a partner with that, we have charged them minimal amounts when it came to rentals and so forth. This is the maximum, if you will. We could certainly back this down if needs be, but this would be covering every expense that we would occur or rentals that we would have regarding this two-day event with a two-day load-in. They load in 2 days prior to the event as well. So with that, Mayor, council members, I would like to answer any questions. I have with me Sherry Woodley, who oversees our reservations and registration and deals with these events, so we could tag team and answer your questions.
All right. I forgot to excuse Councilmember Summers. I think he's doing some testing for certification here this morning. And I'd like to welcome Councilmember Jones. We went to item number two and had the discussion, then came back so that we could have as many council members present as possible. I have not read the minutes. This went through the subcommittee. Somebody want to give me an evaluation of that opinion? Tom, I think it was the split, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it didn't come to the subcommittee. I mean, there was
oh, that's right.
There was five of us here, and right, we couldn't reach a conclusion. I'm not sure I'm an appropriate person to summarize, but the split was whether or not I had raised the concern as to whether or not we wanted to, now that the Cinco de Mayo was making money, be perceived as trying to get our hand into that pot after having backed out of all those events over the last 2 years. So I questioned whether we wanted to get into the co-promotion business as opposed to the straight rental business. Others, I think, argued that this is similar to the amphitheater, and since it's a closed event, why not treat it like the amphitheater and co-promote? So I think there were nuances, but I think that's the essence of the discussion.
Okay. So everyone is looking for the one person that wasn't there to make a... No. Vice Mayor.
I have some additional questions, and they may be repetitious of things I asked before, so forgive me if they are. First of all, what's our risk in being co-promoters?
When we go through the RFP process, obviously they will have to submit, and we will know up front what their percentage would be. So at that time, if somebody came forward and didn't offer a good percentage or a good split, it was low, 5%, 1%, or didn't want to do it, then at that point, we have the ability to not accept that offer and move on to a straight rental deal. So we can minimize the risk there. The risk comes when the event actually takes place, if it rains. If it has a torrential downpour for the 2 days and nobody shows up to the event, you or the promoter have bought talent, have secured staffing and so forth, and if people don't show up, you will not receive, you know, the gate revenue that you would be splitting at the end. However, the way that we've set this up in the amphitheater and the way we would do this here would be that those hard expenses, talent and so forth, would be the burden of the promoter. We would have had soft expenses. By that I mean time that staff would have done to put forth to help coordinate the event, to sell sponsorships, to do those types of things. We just wouldn't make that. We wouldn't make that much money, and we would have lost the time that we put into the event.
And you would have lost the rental fee that you would have acquired if you'd gone on a straight rental basis.
That is correct.
Okay. Next question. Could we take this rental number, and when it comes to something that is a closed event, and I like that term that you use, a closed event, could we build a profit factor into that? In other words, you say, well, okay, we see our costs, and you said that this is fully loaded costs at $20,267, but we're going to put in a $5,000 profit for the city of Mesa in this, that's not at risk, just this is what it costs. You want to use our facility, you are flat out renting our facility. Is that a possibility?
Yeah, and I think you'd base it based upon their ticket sales, and we've done that before in the amphitheater commercial events where you just simply get a percentage of the gate, and you basically whatever you negotiate what that percentage could be, and if they would agree on it, you could do that.
So at that point, you would get your rental fee, you get a percentage of the gate. If there's a rain out, you still get your rental fee, but you don't get the percentage of the gate.
Right, it's based upon what they make.
Right.
And when the Parks Board looked at this, and by the way, I really appreciate the work that they did and your mm-hmm. staff did with them on that. Did they look at that as one of the options?
I'm trying to think, because we had thrown around so many.
I'd say there are a billion options.
I don't think we did talk about that. One of the things that this straight rental deal with the percentages figured in goes back to the original amphitheater deals that are not done as co-promotes. If a promoter comes in and wants a straight deal and doesn't want to do a co-promote, that's basically what we do, is we charge all rental costs, all known staffing costs, and we've always had a percentage of the ticket price as a part of the deal. So that's kind of a hybrid here that we're looking at. I don't know that we've really talked about the Parks Board in detail with that. I think they would be supportive of something of that nature, but we of course would have to go back and get their final say on that.
Okay. I'm somewhat inclined in that direction. And then my other question is to Debbie. Do we have any problem distinguishing commercial versus charitable events? I mean, when this is a fully gated, you're paying admission event, we can clearly see what that is, and I see you're going to get help here.
Yes. Vice Mayor Alfred's been working on this project with Rhett, so I'm going to ask him to take that question.
Mayor, Councilmember Walters, as you recall, last year when we came forward with the special events, we did have an analysis done by an outside law firm, and we did have some considerations and some concerns about going from a nonprofit to a profit event. So I would suspect we would still have those same concerns this year. We'd have to specifically look at the question that you might have for us, but I would suspect that we would have that same concern.
Are you concerned about what I just described? Because how does that differ from the amphitheater?
I'm sorry, can you rephrase the question, or what was the...
Are you having any heartburn over what I just described in terms of our renting out the park and sharing in the a percentage of the gate?
No, not in that percentage. No, I would not. But as far as what my concern would be is treating a nonprofit differently than you would a for-profit agency, as far as how we would go about that.
Sorry, I phrased that incorrectly.
No, your initial analysis was fine. I have no problem with that.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
Tom?
What's the rental rate based on in this hypothetical?
Councilmember Rawls, Mayor and council members, that is actually based on our Ramada fees and our open space fees, because we're basically taking the park off the market for those days. We can't rent out that space, so that's a lost revenue for us. It's a fairly popular park, and we do a lot of rentals there. So it's based on those Ramadas that they would be taking out, as well as an open space rental.
And times 4 days?
Times the hours of the events, yes. And there's a move-in cost figured at 50% of that rental space. So they're not getting charged. There are two move-in days and their move-out day. They're not being charged the full rate, even though they're taking the entire park that time. We only charge the 50% on the move-in and the move-out times.
Now, I'm assuming the events on Saturday and Sunday?
Correct.
Have we looked at to what extent we rent out the open space and the Ramadas on Thursday, Friday, and Monday?
Have not done that yet, but we can do that.
Okay, because I'm thinking that we're probably capturing revenue that we wouldn't have captured in any event, because I don't know of many people who rent a Ramada on Thursday.
I think the reason we did that is because of the shift of this event from a community-based event to a strictly commercial event. We work a lot more closely with our community events. We actually have a lower rate that's charged, we have a base rate, and then we charge slightly higher for commercial entities when they rent the parks.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what we looked at when we were figuring this move in and move out, is that this is no longer really a community event. They're charging a fee at the gate. It's basically a commercial event. So we thought, you know, we'll treat it as a commercial event. That's why we figured
it. Is this the slightly higher rate, or is this,
the slightly higher rate
than the slightly higher?
No, this is the commercial rate that we charge standardly at parks.
But Councilmember Rawls, your question then is, what would be the occupancy or the past occupancy of those Ramadas? You have 15 Ramadas, two were booked on Monday and 15 on Saturday. You would like that information?
Yeah. In other words, if we go that route,
right,
it seems to me in setting the amount, we don't want to assume that
100%
park would have been fully
rented
on Thursday, Friday, and Monday, just because we can. And I guess my biggest problem here is the whole. Let me tell you, I still see, and it took me a while to come to my own conclusion as to why I view this differently than the amphitheater. The park is open to everyone unless there's a commercial event, unless somebody rents it. The amphitheater is not open to anyone unless they rent it. We're in the business of running the amphitheater, for good or bad. We're not in the business of running commercial operations in our parks. The commercial operations are sort of the exception to the rule. So I look at these a little differently, and I'm still very worried about the perception that we're now trying to capture revenue, and I just disagree with the mentality that Claudia has accepted, that we ought to get a profit. We're not in the profit-making business. Once the purpose of government becomes to make money, then we ought to be building and owning Burger Kings and Safeway stores and every other commercial endeavor in the history of man. So I just have a real problem, and it gives me heartburn for that whole concept. So if there's a straight rental that is based upon legitimate cost legitimate foregone revenue, and I'd actually like to look at what the revenues are on Saturday and Sunday in May to see whether or not, you know, I'm assuming this happens around May 5th, see what kind of real foregone revenue that we're losing as opposed to assumptions, and I certainly don't want to tack on any kind of profit margin. I go back to what the gentleman said at the Queen's Park debate. You know, he says, I know your job is to make money for the city. That's not our job. Our job is both to provide certain services and to protect the freedoms and rights of the citizens. So I cannot support any kind of thing that's based upon a profit margin or a profit motive. Personally, I'd get out of the amphitheater business, but you know, I have the votes for that, so we're there, and that's not today's issue. I just don't want to expand the commercialization of municipal government, and that's what we're doing.
Okay. Vice Mayor.
I love nothing better than a good debate, Tom, as you well know. What I would say is that what you just said to me argues more in favor of charging additional funds, because you have taken something that is open to the general public that they should have access to, and we have taken a period of time that they normally could have had access to it, and we have let a commercial user use it. And so in my mind, the citizens of Mesa should be compensated for the loss of their park for that period of time. So I see it a little differently. Let me just say that I don't see this as money coming to my pocket. I don't make anything from it. It's whether or not the citizens of Mesa benefit from it or not.
Tom?
Mayor, and if I can, Clay, I don't disagree, but I think the realistic rental rate based upon prior usage and the loss, that's what the rental is designed to do. That's what any commercial any businessman does is if I'm going to rent this to you as opposed to somebody else, I'm going to get what I would have gotten if I had rented it to A. Well, in this case, we don't build profit margins into private groups that come in and want to use the Ramada or rent the open space, so I don't think we ought to be building profit margins in just because we can't.
Okay. Other comment? Kyle.
I'll come in the middle of this one.
You are in the middle.
Yeah, I am, as a matter of fact. I am concerned about perception. That's always a big concern. But as far as the fee amount that we're talking about for rental, obviously we do need to cover the cost that would have, the revenue that would have come in had we made those available. But there should be a premium. The question is how much, but the premium in my perspective is for the people who would come not to rent Ramadas, but parents just to bring their kids to play and use the park. And that should be the premium portion of it. So I think there should be a happy medium in there. But as I told you before, I am concerned about the perception of us becoming involved in becoming a part of the Cinco de Mayo, which we had at one time. We got out of it. The perception concern for me is becoming involved in a particular event when, and I made this statement when I first came on council, I would be more inclined to have the city involved in the Mesa Days, which is a citywide event and not specific to one particular culture or activity. But I lost on that discussion before, and that's not what we're talking about right now, but I'm concerned about perception. And so I don't have heartburn on a joint venture, but I don't want it to become an issue of we're doing this just for the revenue, because that creates all the wrong picture of what we're about. So it's typical, and I will remain. I'm in between Claudia and Tom on this, so we'll move on.
Mike.
Couple questions on liability. I would imagine we're requiring a certificate of liability insurance with us as additional insured. Does that cover DUIs leaving the property or underage drinking on the property? I'm getting a shaking yes in the back.
I can jump in here. I mean, when we get that certificate of insurance, it does name the city of Mesa, its officials, and we have that verbiage in place. When we get into the detail of off the site and in terms of a DUI in another location, I don't have the specifics on that, but I'm sure that we could get that. But in terms of the venue itself, yes, it does cover that underage drinking or if there was an incident that took place within the confines of the park.
And how many police officers do we generally require for an event like this?
And that has been an issue of debate, and one of the reasons why we've brought this proposal to you, because we have gotten out of the special event business, if you will, we're not necessarily involved in those discussions as to how many. I know that there's some dialogue that goes on between the police department and the event promoter in this particular case, so I do not have that number of police officers that were there at the last event.
I guess my concern, number one, there's considerable amount of drinking at one of these events and the potential for either damage on property to someone or something, or a DUI leaving. We've had some incidents in the past from Ho'okam where a drunk driver left and was involved in a serious accident. I think the other thing that, with the mood of the community with the immigration issue, I think there's an additional concern of demonstration or whatever at this site. And I think we need to look at that situation too and the potential for any perceived violence that might occur with that. So if we're going to look at this as a co-promotion, I think our public safety need is huge for one of these events. So I would, whether we rent it out or whether we're involved as a partner, those are things I think that we do need to get involved in for public safety.
This one has a lot of nuances and different directions. The nonprofit versus for-profit, has that been determined that need to be treated equally as far as rates and stuff? That
would be correct.
Okay. So that gets into the commercial venture versus the homegrown nonprofit venture and cannot charge or favor one over the other. Is that somewhat where we're at on that?
Well, there are some nuances that, you know, we haven't discussed this specifically as far as what would be coming, but the opinion that we got last year was fairly clear that you had to have a very narrowly restricted type of event to qualify for that nonprofit getting a favorable rate over a commercial entity. It would be probably more likely not a violation of the law if we were to treat them differently in that regard.
Okay, I'm trying to break this thing into chunks that make sense as far as the discussion. And, you know, one of the chunks of breaking it out is whether you want to have the parks as a facility that are open and available for commercial rental. Is that the nature of why the parks were built, is for people to come in and say, oh, there's 5 acres and I can rent that for $20,000. Let me check over in Tempe or someplace else because I want a circus tent and some other things and I'm going to charge revenue and this is a commercial business for me. I guess that's why lots and regional shopping malls and stuff, they'll carve out a part of theirs and do the same thing. So I'm not sure that I really want to go down the commercial venture route for our parks, that they are now a rental facility for any and all commercial ventures to come and take a look and say, yeah, we'd like to take Pioneer Park out of service for a month. Or, you know, what? Because that's a lot cheaper than we can get it to, by doing part of Tri-City Mall or, you know, I guess that doesn't work anymore. Fiesta Mall or Superstition Springs. So they see car dealerships and stuff where they sell cars on the weekend. I'm certain, I guess they could park the cars around there someplace and sell cars. I just don't think that's where I want to go with it. If it's a for-profit venture in the parks, it just doesn't make sense to me that we're kind of in the amphitheater business, but that was a unique one established a lot earlier than most of us were around on the council. So I'm having difficulty on that particular segment saying that we ought to do this as a commercial venture. Now, is the Turkey Trot a commercial venture or is it kind of Parks and Rec? I always thought that was kind of, you go out and run it off after Thanksgiving dinner or whatever.
Or before. Yeah, that's actually produced by a nonprofit, the Sotoma Club, and they do charge a minimal entry fee that covers the T-shirt and their goodie bag or whatever they get for completing that event.
I mean,
no, It's not a fenced up event to where, I mean, people can still patronize the park on that particular day.
I would like to resolve the discussion of the fenced off event and whether that's proper for us to do that with parks. Once we've established that as a vote, and if the majority say yes under circumstances, definitely fence it off, then I think I can move on to the next. But I would vote against fencing it off for commercial ventures. I just don't think that's why we're in the park business.
And Mayor, this is, I appreciate the comment, because this is a new nugget, if you will, because last year was the first year that they did charge an admission fee. And so that transpired last year and thus changed the face of this event. Reason why we're here today to discuss it, because it is now a commercial event versus a community, free to the public, come in. If you choose to buy a hot dog or choose to go on a ride, then that's your prerogative. But now it is a gate admission, and that is, again, a new piece to this that we did not have.
And then you componented it down. Okay, then what do you do with the revenue when you have liquor sales in a park? Do we support that? But I'm just having trouble getting over this first incremental saying we are going to have commercial facilities in city parks and facilitate the rental of those by giving them this rate so they can compare to other commercial ventures. I don't see Mesa that being the role that I'm comfortable with. Tom?
If it helps, and again, from where I was, I can certainly get to that same point. And that's why if we get it back to that fundamental level, I would join you in that and not support the fenced off, closed events in our city parks at all.
Okay, and I'm not sure how we have this on the agenda and that if we need to deviate from back to that type of discussion or not. But once you solve that one, I think it helps with a lot of the rest of the discussion.
Mayor and Council, if there's not a majority who supports utilizing the parks, allowing the views for commercial venture, then really today I think we are at a point where we need to let anyone who's preparing for those for the next year know that there will not be events of this nature in city parks, and so that they can look for other private ventures. So if that's the decision today, that solves when there's no other discussion to have after that, because the rental fees. Now my question is, we're talking about the concern about fencing off an entire park and having an access fee to the park. Do we have any other instances where in the park they may take a portion of a park and do some kind of commercial? I'm just asking the question. I'm not aware of any. Okay, so this is
not of that. Certainly not of this magnitude, nor fenced off.
Okay, so we're not pulling anybody else in. I'm just making sure we understand the full universe here. So, if that's the policy of the council, then that will, essentially, we need to let these enterprises that have historically used the Cinco de Mayo know that that is no longer available. And I'm assuming the restriction isn't just where someone comes and reserves the entire park, but any portion of a park which they're going to use for commercial enterprise, is what I'm hearing.
I think it naturally goes to the other
park. Right. Okay.
Yeah. The parks are not available for sale to commercial ventures.
Okay.
Now, I get to a fine line after it is not restricted by a fence or restricted entry. What do you do with the revenue? I still haven't quite made up my mind how we do the revenue split, but that's a separate topic.
No, I agree. Mayor, I think we have to get past the first portion about whether it's going to be available. If it's not available, we can't get majority council to support that. The other discussion is...
Well, let's see where we're at on that one then. Kyle?
I will put my view that I'm not interested in fencing off a park. I would like access for everybody. You set up booths, you want to make money, so be it on the booths. My question is, in years past on Cinco de Mayo, haven't they had a fenced area just to control the alcohol distribution?
Yeah, they have had a beer garden, and they've done that simply for the liability and to control the sale of that.
And I don't have a problem with that, just for control of that distribution.
Mm-hmm.
But to fence off large portions just for commercial, I'm not in favor of.
Okay. Vice Mayor.
Mayor, I agree. That wasn't part of the discussion, so I'm glad you brought it back to that level, because I agree. I think that the parks should be accessible for everyone. I mean, if they wanted to rent the amphitheater and do it there, then that's what the amphitheater is there for.
Right.
So So that's a different thing in terms of charging admission, but I like the way you brought it back to that fundamental level.
Okay. Well, let's... how do we have this on the agenda here for... provide direction. Let me just... all right, I was just going to try to bring it to a vote if we need conclusion on this. Tom?
All right, then I'll try to make a motion after I make clarify. When we talk about lack of commercial enterprises, though, if Hawker Evans wants to have a Christmas party at a park and rent a Ramada that they don't charge an entrance fee to or something, that's not what we're talking about. We're just talking about where you charge. I mean, I don't think we want to have our business community deprived of using our parks, hiring a Ramada just because they're business, whereas a family could do it for a family reunion.
Well, I concur.
Okay. But I'm just talking about the phrase commercial enterprise would suggest that the entity itself would be precluded from,
a good clarification.
And that's not what we mean.
It's not.
Right. Mayor, can I ask some clarification also to make sure we're square? If an entity still wants to do a Cinco de Mayo activity at Pioneer Park, as long as it's not enclosed, so there's a free admission, and if they have booths to purchase a hot dog or a ride, is that still acceptable?
We're
to
not
council?
There yet. I'm not to that step yet.
Oh, okay.
I'd like to discuss that because I'd like to do this in a progression to see how much commercial activity and what will be the city involvement. Do we co-sponsor? Because we still have the issue of two people coming forward wanting similar events at the same park. This doesn't totally solve that. It just takes the commercial venture realm out of it at this point. And that's the only step I wanted to go to first.
And if you wanted a motion to that effect, I would make a motion that the city not allow closed park commercial ventures and where fees are charged for entry to the event.
And nonprofits? Those would be the same, right?
Anybody.
Right, okay. We made that distinction between commercial and nonprofit. No. Make those the same.
I'm just talking about commercial from a commercial process as opposed to whether they're a for-profit or nonprofit entity.
Okay. Okay. All right. Discussion on that? Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Got your direction on the fenced off area at least. Now let's go to the second stage, which I think has to do with if there is a venture that rents the park, doesn't fence it off, then what do you do with the revenue split? Do we have one? Do we not have one? And do we then, when there's multiple applicants, do we get involved in the ranking of those applicants and pick, and somebody from the city pick and choose according to some criteria, which, you know, at least one draft of an outline is in our packets. So, Kyle.
I want to back up just a second to clarify. In the past events where they've had a fenced off area for serving liquor, I want to make sure that we make that clear. That was a liability and safety issue for making sure minors don't go into that area where alcohol is served.
Well, the only question I would have is how far can they expand their fenced off area in the guise of liquor control?
That, yeah.
But, okay, so that's, take it further.
What if they have to expand it
to an entire park?
The license will dictate the size of the garden.
We need to have some specification on that.
Well, that may come from someone other than us.
Doesn't the liquor department deal with the size of the fence?
I know they can go into some, not necessarily scientific equation, but, you know, if you have 10,000 people there and the demographic is, you know, 19 to 22-year-olds, then they need a larger space because they're going to have more drinkers. If it's a family event, it's smaller. So I think it's more just they kind of walk through the process and try to accommodate the group that's there.
But I think what we're trying to get at is we don't want them to say, and we have a...
The entire park now is a beer garden.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just need that clarification. Mm.
I don't know how you do that.
But, Mayor, you're okay with the idea, though, that every other Ramada or facility in that park could be rented out at the same time, though?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, or they can rent them.
No, that's something they would... Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The whole park is not closed off, gated off, whatever, but every Ramada, I guess, in theory, could be...
And be rented.
Could be rented out to the same person during that period of time.
So, in the example, during Cinco de Mayo, there would not be places for family picnics at a Ramada.
Okay.
To reserve a Ramada, to have one. But they could certainly walk through and enjoy the park equipment and the other stuff and see what's going on.
I think on the liquor license thing, I think we could dictate that in the application, limiting the size, and then we would see it again on a liquor license coming through the council.
That's true. All right, Tom?
I'll try to address two things at once. First is I think that the model that you just described, which basically says the public is still available to walk through the event, still even find a place under a tree to have a picnic if they want, but they may not be able to sit at a Ramada, again, sort of discounts the need for additional revenue to the city for that, because it's not a closed park anymore. It's still available. It's still serving its general public purpose, although perhaps at a smaller percentage. So I think that argues in favor of going to a straight rental fee as opposed to a co-promotion or even a profit margin. And secondly, I think if we do have competing events, then I think that the criteria that the staff has prepared without the financial element gives us the staff the ability to rank those competing entities. So that's the direction I'd like to go.
Okay, I concur, actually. Let's see, never got to four, so let's see what variations of that we have. Vice Mayor?
Well, I think we're there from just if you just look at the numbers, because they took in more than 100,000 at the gate last year. So you just took $100,000 out of their revenue. So I think that it argues in favor of that as well. But I would go back and look at the rental of the Ramadas and this more fully loaded cost, because my recollection is that this is higher than what we charged last year. Is that correct?
It is, about $5,000. I think we charged $15,000 last year.
Yeah, and I am in favor of looking at these more fully loaded costs.
I'm not passing judgment on whether this is the right amount. I'm just saying I want to go with a straight cost recovery model, not a profit incentive model.
Okay. If it does take I'm not sure they'll need a half a day to set up, because most of that's probably fencing and the rest. So it may, in fact, be...
Mayor, they have historically, even in past years when we did not have a fence, have a day of loading, because they were bringing in the various booths and the carnival rides and so forth. So they were setting those up prior to. But I mean, we can work through what effect that has on the park.
Right, and I guess that would diminish the experience of somebody else that had the Ramada next to some booth or something that was being constructed. So there may be some reason to pick up a half a day before and for the dismantle. So.
I would recommend that we include the cost of public safety in our rental fee so that we control the public safety, both fire and police, because I think they set up a paramedic station also. We get a lot of heat injuries at that time of year. So if we could look at that also, rather than allowing the promoter to dictate, because that may mean on street as well.
And I guess my question is, maybe Mike's giving the answer, I'm assuming they're working that out with police and fire, and they pay them directly?
Right, that's
services?
Correct. When they go through the special event process through tax and licensing, all of those ideas are addressed there, and police and fire are actually involved, and they set the number of paramedics they need, the ambulance service they might need, and the number of officers they need. So that's all taken care of through the special event process.
We'll just make sure that there is a reimbursement for that going to those departments.
But there may be on-street activities that are not covered by that also.
Well, okay. Yeah, we can look at that.
If I could, Mayor, I was just handed a note with some additional information on this fencing. There was another issue of why that fencing was brought up, not solely for the purpose of administering the ticketing, and I don't know if this came from PD, but it was also for security reasons, because they were doing a search at that time to make sure that no weapons or other alcohol was brought into the park. Again, that would be something that we would have to, to look into now that the event has grown and as you bring up the police and the security and so forth, we need to get probably the police involved in that, because that could have been their decision to have that search.
Vice Mayor.
Let me bring up another issue then, and that is that perhaps this event has outgrown the location. That many people in Pioneer Park, Pioneer Park wasn't designed for that many people. So you might want to encourage the promoter to look at Red Mountain Park. It's a larger area. I don't know in terms of the security issues involved there. Anytime you have a large event, you're going to have those issues. But I think it becomes more critical when you're looking at something that's a small location as Pioneer Park and when it's grown to this size of an event. So I do have some concerns, you know, as we're now just talking about the event itself. I have some concerns about how large this event has become for such a small facility.
May I suggest, Mayor, that perhaps what we need to do is just give the staff direction that we want to proceed on a rental basis and not a co-promotion basis. And then as the event planning occurs, we may well have to address whether or not Pioneer Park is an appropriate place. We may have to address whether or not we need a second fencing for one to control the drinking inside the facility like the beer garden, another one to control spilling out into the street or depriving, because I'm assuming that this is one of the parks that we don't allow alcohol to be brought into by ordinary folks, or can ordinary folks bring alcohol to Pioneer Park to drink?
In this particular case, they are trying to limit alcohol coming in because they're selling it.
I understand what they'd like to do. I'm asking whether or not this is a park that...
They can actually purchase a beer or wine license, and Joe Q Public can bring alcohol into that park in plastic bottles. I think the concern with the promoter was he's taken on the alcohol liability, and he doesn't want people bringing it in, and then the liquor board shuts him down because someone brought in outside alcohol.
I appreciate that, but if the whole park is not the beer garden, if it's just a portion of it that's the beer garden, my question is, assume it's an ordinary Saturday in April, can I go to Pioneer Park and bring, without securing a liquor license from the state of Arizona, bring a six-pack of beer for my family to drink at Pioneer Park?
You cannot unless you get a permit from Parks and Recreation.
And what is the criteria for approving that by Parks and Recreation?
There's a $20 permit fee.
Okay. So I can, for $20, I can bring my six-pack on?
Yes.
Okay.
If it's in plastic.
If it's in plastic. All right. Very, very good. Okay. I mean, I think these are nuances that we can't resolve today because we don't know what the specific questions that are going to be presented by the planning. Because the promoters may well say, you're right, if I can't close off this park, I don't want to do it here, I want to do it somewhere else. Or they may want to say, if I can't, you know, so I think we need to give the promoter a chance to digest, or the promoters a chance to digest what we decided today, but I do think they need the direction that it's going to be rental / cost recovery versus co-promotion. And I'll make a motion to no co-promotion if that's what we need.
Let's move it forward with that. All right, there's a motion. I'll second it for discussion. This would say that there's no co-promotion, so there's not a city involvement with the split of profits or other whatever legal entanglements may or may not be as part of that. Discussion on that? All right, Vice Mayor?
I'm going to support the motion, but what I'd like to do is revisit this again. Well, we aren't going to be here, but I'm going to recommend that you revisit it again in a year and see, you know, what the results are. Because last year, we didn't vote on whether or not there was going to be fencing or not. That all happened without our participation. And so I would recommend that this come back again. And Kyle, you might want to look at it again next year and see how it goes.
Mike?
Was there an after-action report filed last year?
There was, and there was very few incidences that I can recall and that I read about. And Cindy was actually our staff liaison to some degree in any major incidences.
And what was the population at any given time, do we know?
In terms of attendance?
Right.
Mayor, Council, on Saturday there was 18,000 admissions sold, and on Sunday 6,000, and they recorded approximately about 400 cups of beer were sold. It was very minimal for that type, and when the city was involved in this, it wasn't a very large alcohol event. It's more of a family event.
Thank you.
Yeah, it is 18,000. Mm-hmm. Okay, the motion is to suggest that, well, to implement a policy that there will be no co-promotion. We are rejecting that suggestion. All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Passes. All right. Tom?
Brett, I don't know whether you still need guidance on the other issue that I was flip-flopping on, and I really wasn't flip-flopping. There was another issue here about what do we do with the existing events versus new events, and I said I didn't want to have a difference, and I still don't want to have a difference. My suggestion is that does the Turkey Trot pay a rental fee?
Yes, they do. Okay. For Red Mountain, for their portion of that park.
Right, and so I think everybody should be on an equal footing, and whether they're an existing event that rents
or a new
portion of a park for a non-closed, non-co-promotion event, they should pay just as a new event would.
Right.
So trying for is consistency, Brian, although I appreciated you bringing that to my attention.
And Councilmember Rawls, Mayor Hawker, we do have other events. The one that I can think of is the Tour de Phoenix, which is a bike race, and it's similar to that. I mean, they start at Red Mountain Park, and they rent out two or three Ramadas that are close to their starting gate, and away they go. And so it's the Turkey Trot's no different than other events. So
my preference, if the council's not really interested yet in deciding whether everybody pays or nobody pays, I just want to make a plea for consistency.
Sure.
Whether it should be either all pay or none pay, and I think if they rent out space, then everybody should pay.
Yeah, when I read the grandfathering in, I had some similar questions on how many ones would be grandfathered in with no charges, and it doesn't sound like we have any.
I guess the recommendation was that those events that we had that we the city produced historically, that we would make a switch, and that because now they're taking that expense on, that we would take away their rental fee. But from what I'm hearing today is that will not be the case, that everyone will pay consistently across the board, whether it was an event that the city hosted in years past or a new event coming in.
I would concur.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. I think you have concurrence on that one, too.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
All right. Let's move on to number three, which is hear reports on meetings and or conferences attended. Anyone have any updates? Vice Mayor.
I stopped by the fire station, the old fire station one this morning for their annual pancake breakfast. Last night, Mayor, you and I were at GPEC annual dinner where they recognize leaders in the valley in business, and that was a nice event. And then yesterday morning, I was at Gateway as we had the grand opening of the ASU Mesa Air training facility for ASU Poly. Very, very nice facility, and it was wonderful to have the man from Mesa Air in Mesa, which is just where they belong. And that's all I'm going to report on right now. Thanks, Mayor.
Okay. Anyone else? Kyle?
Several Oaks worth the groundbreaking of Lau properties where they will be building LEED buildings, the green buildings for an office park there. It'll be a very nice addition out in the Riverview area.
All right, under scheduling of meetings and general information, I think there's going to be a graphic thrown up for the applications that can be sent in for the replacement for interim replacement for District 5. So, you know, there's a web address and a phone number. If anyone is in District 5 that would like to submit an application, would you please contact us in that manner? The applications will be accepted till 5 o'clock on October 10th. The council will identify finalists. Finalists will be identified by October 15th, and then interviews will be held at our study session on October 18th, which is a Thursday. And then it's anticipated that the council will vote on the replacements on or before October 25th. All right. Mr. Brady?
Thank you, Mayor. Just a reminder, we have another study session on Thursday, October 11th, and that will be followed by a Transportation Infrastructure Committee meeting. And then we have our Monday October 15th study session will, I believe, it sounds like we need to allocate some time for council to make the decision then. I think that's the date you'll make the decision about the number and who will be interviewed on the 18th. So we'll allocate some time before the council meeting to do that. Just a reminder, I know we've talked about the decision by council to make on the October 25th study session on the council appointment. That's fine. The 26th it was also just a reminder for those members of the council, the mayor and the vice mayor, I think Councilman Summers, we were going to have that visioning session with these consultants. So not that I'm trying to put any pressure on you about the 25th decision, but we've already got you booked on the 26th, so just as a reminder. So, and that's all I have, Mayor. Thank you.
Okay. Kyle?
I believe this Saturday is Councilmember Summers' pancake breakfast out at which station?
Yes, it's at 2.
Ellsworth, the baseline in Ellsworth.
Guadalupe. Baseline in Ellsworth.
I think it's 212, I think. But it's the fire station on Ellsworth between Baseline and Guadalupe.
And this is a pancake breakfast for those in his district to come out and visit. There will be city staff there to answer questions from different departments.
Correct.
And then my district before will be at Station 202 on the 13th.
Okay.
Station 2.
Okay. Any others? No? Are there any requests to speak this morning?
No requests, Mayor.
All right.
Then, adjournment.
All right. I have a motion to adjourn in second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. The council study session is adjourned. I do need to call a special council meeting to order for the purposes of convening an executive session. Do I have a motion to that effect?
So moved.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. We are in executive session.